You're listening to the Sportsman's Empire Podcast Network, and this episode is brought to you by Interstate Batteries. For all of your battery needs, visit your local Interstate Batteries retail store. Interstate Batteries, outrageously dependable. This episode of the Sportsman's Empire is brought to you by Interstate Batteries. Since 1952, Interstate Batteries has been evoking compassion and a trustworthy spirit into the surrounding communities. Interstate Batteries is a mission-driven company fueled by purpose and guided by their values. If you need help locating a specific battery, stop into your local Interstate Batteries retail store and speak with a battery specialist. They even offer cell phone repairs. Interstate Batteries, outrageously dependable. All right, everybody, welcome back to the Man Therapy Podcast. We've been MIA for several weeks now. We had Christmas break, we had New Year's, like basically kids are off school the whole time. We had sickness that contributed to a couple episodes there, but we are back, we're pseudo healthy, and we're ready to rock and roll in 2026. Kyle.
Right. Dude, how's your 2026 starting?
The way 2025 ended, like nothing life changing, like no big epiphanies that's going to change my life, really just kind of nosed back to the grindstone in a way.
Yeah.
You?
One thing I'm excited about is I'm going to join a new gym. Mm-hmm. And that's going to be good for me. I really liked the old gym that I went to, but it was a class-based gym, as you know, and that means that you can only go when those classes start. Mm-hmm. And if those times don't work for you, then it's just not convenient. And those times were just not great for me. So, and it's expensive. It's worth it, but it's expensive. So, I don't know about you. Oh, probably not for you, but, my health insurance premium increased by 50%.
Holy shit.
50%. I'm not exaggerating. 50% it went up by. So that's just a big kick in the pants, big kick in the groin. And so I was like kind of looking at where I could save money and just be a little bit tighter and more responsible with money. And I thought, oh, that $100 a month gym membership that I can't even use very often because those times don't often work for me, that's got to go. So
yeah,
canceled that. And I'm starting at a new place where I'll be able to go whenever the hell I want. And it's cool because it's in between my home and my work. So it'll just be convenient. So it'll be nice.
What gym?
Top Shape.
Oh, yeah, dude, that's where I go right now.
I was actually going to text you and see.
Yeah.
I kind of assumed that was.
Yep.
Yeah, there's one just south of us and one north of us. So.
Yeah. So the gym that you went to, my wife currently goes to, like, it's under new ownership.
Yeah.
And it's a fairly young owner. Like, I don't know how she got the money to afford the purchase of it. Anyway, like, she's not showing up to open the gym on times. And I'm like, that's a bad look, dude. Like,
that's you can't be doing that.
No, dude, if I'm paying for a service and you don't show up to provide that service to me, you get one shot and then I'm dropping and going somewhere else.
Oh,
and
yeah.
It seems like a lot of people are already doing that.
Oh, I've heard that as well, which is too bad because I really like that place and I like that person. Too bad.
Yeah.
Because they had a good thing going.
I want you to bring this up if I forget this health insurance thing that you talked about in the increased rates there. Because eventually I want to talk about that specifically and things like that contribute to, you know, some stress that Americans have in today's world. Mm-hmm. So I want to bring that up in a little bit. But outside of all of that, did you have like a stress-free Christmas break?
You know, I would say honestly I did. We celebrate Christmas like 6 weekends in a row or something. Yeah. We have all these different sides of the family. And so we seriously celebrate Christmas like 5 or 6 times. It actually makes the holiday season really fun for me. Like once Thanksgiving starts, you know, we usually have like a couple of Thanksgivings, 2 or 3 Thanksgivings, and then it's like Christmas season for us, and it's every weekend Christmas somewhere, Christmas somewhere, Christmas somewhere. And we barely have to travel. The farthest we have to travel is 2 hours away.
Yeah.
And I think I know I've said this to you before, but every single side of my family are like the nicest people you've ever met. So yeah. I'm excited to go everywhere. And when I met my wife and then I started, we started dating and I started to get introduced to her family and get to know all of them. I was like, this is too good to be true.
Yeah.
Like they're so nice. There's no drama. Everybody's super cool. Everybody's excited to see each other. Like great food. Like it's always just so much fun.
Yeah. That's awesome, man.
Oh,
that's awesome. Yeah. I mean, I can relate to that. I mean, we got some really good people. I got two stepbrothers and their families are real awesome. My stepdad's nice. My in-laws are awesome. There's only two of them. So it's like, cause my wife's an only child. Mm. And then like my dad's side is my brother and his wife and his three kids. And my dad, by himself now, but I didn't get an opportunity to spend time with any of them because our family got sick for damn near two straight weeks we missed every Christmas. Gathering. And then we had one scenario where my brother, his daughter was going in for tonsils to get the tonsils removed surgery. And we were just coming off being sick. And he's like, dude, if you come, there's a chance that she gets sick. And then we have to reschedule all this. So we just stayed home. Yep. And so it was just like secondary weekends after Christmas. Everybody was sick Christmas Eve and Christmas Day. Like, I think there was a period of time where I was in bed in 2 days. I got out of bed a total of four total hours in two straight days.
Yeah.
Yeah. It sucked, man. Oh. It sucked. Kids were off and on. Yeah, exactly.
Oh.
Got robbed. So that's where we were balancing out. But finally, now everybody's kind of back to normal. We're back into the swing of things, the routine of school and work and athletics and things like that. So we're coming, we're on an upward trajectory, if that makes
good
sense.
Good for you. I'm bummed to hear that. It's too bad when the holiday season happens like that. That's happened to me before. And you just miss out on all that fun stuff.
Yeah.
Dude, should we host a little family Christmas for you? We'll put all the stuff back up. We put it all away. I'll put it all back up.
That's funny.
We can reenact Christmas morning.
Yeah. I'll pass. dude, maybe I'm an Ebenezer Scrooge.
Mm.
I am just not into Christmas.
Mm.
I don't know what it means. My wife is extremely into Christmas. Obviously, the kids are into Christmas because of the presents thing. But maybe it's some kind of deep dive subconscious thing about like when my parents got divorced when they were younger, or maybe me and my family not having a ton of money when I was growing up and things like that. But dude, I think my personal opinion is like Christmas is overdone.
Yeah.
And sure. I literally don't care about it. And it's hard for me. And I think my wife is like, hey, are you going to put Christmas lights up? I'm like,
yeah.
Yeah, sure, honey. So then I spent 4 hours one day putting Christmas lights on my steep ass roof. Right.
Yeah.
And then, hey, what are we doing for Christmas presents? You know, and I'm just like, okay, so there's a couple $1,000. It's just it's ridiculous. Right. And so I just am not into that. My favorite types of family gatherings are like 4th of July or Thanksgiving, because there's no dressing up. There's no trying to make other people happy. It's just show up, eat some good food, bullshit for a while, and then go. Right. I don't know, man. I don't know. I wonder.
I think you're right on. I think you do know. I think Christmas has gotten spoiled. I think for me, Thanksgiving's where it's at.
Yeah.
Because it feels is in terms of like family. So 4th of July is super fun because it's family and friends. It's like anything goes. Everybody's in a great mood. That's super cool. Mm-hmm. As far as family connection, I prefer Thanksgiving over Christmas because it has the same weight, the same meaning as Christmas, and that everybody treats it as special, and people will travel to be together for Thanksgiving. But there's none of the extra stress around buying presents and wrapping stuff and keeping secrets and all the crazy, like, decorating's a lot less, and
yeah,
the weather's usually not as cold and all that stuff. So I think Thanksgiving is superior to how we do Christmas. I'm not shitting on the Christmas holiday. I'm shitting on how we do it.
Yeah. Do you tend to see a increase in people wanting your services as a counselor in the holiday season, like that colder winter months, mm-hmm. Thanksgiving to New Year's timeframe?
Yeah. Yeah. Really the winter months, generally speaking, yes. And then it's a major flare up point for my existing clients that
yeah.
I just know there's going to be, you know, anybody that's come to me because they have like relationship stuff or family stuff, I know around the holidays, it's going to be really flared up. Which actually from a therapeutic perspective, this might be a little paradoxical, but I actually look forward to that time because then as a counselor, it's almost easier to help clients when they're actually actively going through mm-hmm. the stuff, because otherwise you kind of sit there and say, well, hypothetically,
yeah.
what would you do if you were in this situation? And they'd say, well, hypothetically, if that ever happened, I would probably do this. You know, maybe they do, maybe they don't. But during the holidays, it's like, all right, this is happening. That person you don't like is coming, or you're going to have to go be around that group of people you don't like. Let's game plan. So like just really where the rubber meets the road. But you know, that it's funny, cause as a counselor, I'm always, it's called parallel processing, where I'm listening to you and I'm focusing on your stuff. And I'm trying really hard to help you. And I also can't help but like be noticing my own stuff too. So if you're going like, oh man, my family sucks and they don't give a shit about me and everybody's rude and everybody's selfish and da 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 da, I'm right there with you. And also on the other side of my mind, I'm going, oh shit, like my family's awesome.
Yeah.
You know, like being a therapist keeps me humble in that way, that I get to hear other people's stuff and it makes me realize not to take for granted the good things that I have.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think around holidays stirs a lot of stuff up and makes work like a more vibrant time for me.
Yeah.
If that makes all sense.
Right. Yeah. I want to talk about just people in the world today.
Mm.
Right. And mm-hmm. I fall into some of these categories too, because dude, whether you want to blame it on politics or the media or social media or whatever the case is,
mm-hmm.
I've just noticed that people in the United States today are fucking wound tight as shit. And I can't help but fall into that myself sometimes. And I when I catch it, I'm just like, oh my God, you're wasting so much energy being negative. But I'm sitting at the local coffee shop yesterday or the day before, and there's a group of people who come in and they start talking, you know, it's loud in there, and I'm on my computer working, and their conversation is out loud so I can hear it. And they start having conversations about political figures. They start having conversations about key points, like key, I don't know, like your gun control, your abortion, your other things that go on, like key points.
Yeah.
And I find myself listening to that and starting to get angry. And I'm starting to get like fired up, because in my head I'm going, are you an idiot? Like, how can you think that way? Don't you know the truth and all this stuff? And then then I stop myself and I'm like, well, that's just one person's opinion. Why would I let that get me so angry and fired up? And then it even goes to a bigger stance in the way this country is really segregated through politics.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't necessarily, like, I don't want to get into politics per se, but there are groups of people who are so angry at each other when we have more things in common than we actually do. Separate. Why do you think, and maybe throw in your counseling, your psychology type things. Mm-hmm. Why are people so fucking angry at each other all the time?
Yeah. Yeah. I really think that politicians and the media breed it on purpose.
Yeah.
I think it's like, I think all they do is just continuously push the envelope farther and farther and farther to keep people riled up. I think the moment that like advertisers and the media and the government figured out that fear and anger sells, they just dumped everything else and just honed in on fear and anger. And so they've just been pushing that. So it's just divisiveness now. And so I think in order for the left to keep power, they want to stoke the fires of anger against the right. And for the right to try to keep power, they want to stoke the fires of anger against the left. And I think they've once they realized anger is the thing that captures people's attention, then that's like, all right, well, we're just going to give you a steady diet of that. And now we get to see what our culture looks like with a steady diet of divisiveness and anger. And it's too bad.
Yeah.
And also I think the social media sucks really bad because the algorithms will just give you what you want to see in a way that, like, you know, you 30 years ago, you know, newspapers did have a slant, but there were only like a number of newspapers to read and you weren't getting barraged with the average dipshit's opinions. Right.
Yeah.
You know, and you could read stuff like, I think the papers are probably more centered than they are now. The news outlets were a little bit more centered than they are now. Now you know exactly which ones are really far right and which ones are really far left. And it's pretty ugly. But no, I think that they've given us what we have shown works on us.
Yeah.
And so now things suck really bad.
Yeah. And so I get on social media to post because I have a digital company, and in order for me to promote my digital content, I have to post on social media, right? Which I absolutely hate social media, man.
Yeah.
It sucks you in, and then you wake up and you're like, where have I been for the last 30 minutes?
Seriously.
Or whatever, right?
Yeah.
And so I was doing my daily posts, and I started to scroll a little bit, and I stopped on something that I agreed with. And it was a guy basically telling, you know, giving perspective on certain things from his point of view. And I happened to agree with it. And as I started to continue to scroll, I saw more of this guy and more of these things.
Yeah.
But the content was like, it almost kept getting more aggressive. And I was like, yeah, yeah. And then I had what it's almost like I had, they purposely give me something opposite of that for this emotional trigger that starts to make me angry.
Yeah.
And it keeps me going and going. And I'm like, there's got to be a psychological thing there where it's just like, they know what they're doing. Agree, agree, agree. Boom. Give them something they strongly disagree with. And it made me angry. It made me be like, what? Yeah. Look at this dipshit. Look, there's no way, you know, like this and this and this.
Yeah.
And I see it all, now I kind of see it all the time. Do you from a professional standpoint, and maybe it's not social media, but it's like, you know, like dad, you know, like, I agree with dad. I agree with dad. I agree with dad. Mom comes in the room, says some shit. Now I'm like, I disagree with mom. And then that is part of like this, like, relationship problems that people have, or I don't like, it's a very complex of way of asking, do you see this in your profession?
Basically what we're talking about is conditioning. Like you get conditioned to think and feel a certain way.
Yeah.
And then I think you're right that something that when you get presented with something that goes against your conditioning, it gives you an adverse reaction to it. Mm-hmm. I think in really unhealthy families, there are alliances that can happen where where like a child can become aligned with a parent. I think that's ugly when that happens. Yeah. I don't see that specifically a ton. I mean, I see a lot of alliances, but I don't see as much of like, I don't think it's done as much on purpose. I definitely think that it's very psychologically sophisticated, in social media and advertising and marketing and, the way that our news is presented to us. Mm-hmm. Like they know exactly what they're doing. They know, you know, I think the kind of the classic phrase that I'll just paraphrase is they know us better than we know us.
Yeah.
You know, and isn't it just incredible that in probably 30 minutes of scrolling that you lingered on one thing, it noticed that you lingered on that because mm-hmm. it's tracking how long you stay in one spot on your phone. And yeah. it's like, oh, cool, let's give him more of that and see if he lingers again. And then you do, and it's like, oh, he likes that. And it gives you more and more. And mm-hmm. in 30 minutes, it'll build you your own echo chamber. Mm-hmm. It's just incredible. I remember having a really stark experience that I feel the way I do and lean the way that I do. And I thought, geez, I know this is happening. So let me purposefully hear some points from the other side. I just want to be open-minded. Let me hear some yeah. points from the other side. And so I started looking up, you know, well-known people on the other side, so to speak. And my algorithm flipped quick.
Yeah.
It thought that I flipped.
Yeah.
And I thought, oh my gosh, if I'm not careful with this, I would just follow it wherever it led me. Mm-hmm. And the tricky part is not that I'm super savvy about it, but if I was even less savvy, like I wouldn't notice it happening. I would just think that was right. I wouldn't think twice. You know, I would just like yeah. happily be led by the hand down that rabbit hole. But instead I was like, holy shit, this is crazy. Like yeah. all of a sudden it's just giving me a super steady diet of the other side and all of their really good points and not giving me mine at all. And then, giving me all the counterpoints to the things that I believe. And another thing that's really crazy is there will be a video and the algorithm will know the way that you lean and it'll show you a certain set of comments on that video. And I can watch the same video and it'll show me a completely different set of comments.
Mm. Interesting.
Isn't that wild? That's so wild. Sophisticated that it's able to do that.
Man. And meanwhile, you know, because I've fallen victim to it. And what I mean fallen victim to it is I think they do that. They obviously do that for a reason so that you start to comment some irrational comment.
Yeah.
It's like, you like to murder babies or you like to, yeah. you know, whatever the case is of yes, whatever yeah, topic, yeah, yeah. you know, like,
yeah.
you know, some hot topic and someone, you know, my body, my choice, whatever. And then it's just, and then you're instantly starting to hate somebody.
Yeah. Yeah.
You're instantly starting to hate this person that you've never met before yeah. based off of a comment that they've left. Yeah. I don't know how many times in the past I have had these comments typed out all the way, especially in the hunting space that I kind of live in, where like somebody said something outrageous and I'm just yeah. like, you dumb ass piece yeah. of shit, you know, yeah. like blah, 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 blah.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
and
yeah.
then I've just like deleted it. Smart. Right. And then like, and because I'm just like, it does not matter, man. And what yeah. you have here is then you have people who are profiting off of the division and they're doing stuff on purpose in order to get people. They bring no value
yep.
to whatever space they live in yeah. other than conflict.
Yeah.
And they are, yeah. they're getting their likes and clicks because of controversial
yeah.
Topics, but there's nobody out there really trying to fix the problem or try to find ways to bring people together instead.
Oh, absolutely.
Everything is
because there isn't money in that. And that there's a term for that. It's called rage baiting, which mm-hmm. I'm sure you've heard that before, but it's yeah. like, I get paid for clicks. So I'm going to do whatever gets me the clicks. And yeah. I don't even, dude, if I'm greedy enough, I might post stuff that goes against my own best mm-hmm. interests or against my own actual beliefs because
yeah.
I know that it's going to stir people up and I'll get clicks.
Yeah. Yeah. And so
Well, one more, one, just a couple more thoughts on that.
Yeah.
Now it's so sophisticated that you don't even know if those other comments that you're reading are even real people.
Oh, 100%.
You know, those could be fake comments just left fake there by posts. AI. Fake
Dude.
Posts, and they are fake posts and fake comments on those posts that you're then, that are designed to rile you up because it knows you well enough. That's pretty wild. And I've been, you know, years ago, I fell into it and had, you know, big debates with people online, and I'd get into it with my friends, you know, that are like, they have different beliefs, and dude, it never went anywhere. It was never helpful. It was never productive. And so I've, you know, I smiled a little bit when you said that you would type out a whole response and then delete it. Good job for not getting in the water, because I've done that too. I mean, I've done it both ways, and I've learned to like not do it. And I've done that probably even recently, where I type out a response. I'm like, dude, what are you doing?
Yeah.
One more thing. I wish I could remember who said this, and I think it was a comedian, but their point was that like when something happens, or when there's some controversy or something bad happens in the world, and people want to post like, oh, thoughts and prayers, or this is my position on that, or oh, I stand for so and so. They're not really necessarily even caring about the topic. They're more saying, don't forget about me. Don't forget about
Anthony Jeselnik.
Yeah. And when he said that, I was like, oh my God, that's so insightful.
Yeah.
That's so freaking true.
100%.
Yeah. 100%. So I think, so that's another thing. Even if I'm going to leave like a positive comment, or if I think I've got like a funny, I'll often think I've got some funny retort or funny little joke to leave, and I'll like start typing it, and I'm like, dude, what are you doing? You don't need to, you don't need to say, look at me. You don't need to say, remember me. Like, just interact with the people in your real life.
Yeah.
What about the, actually, go ahead. You know, it looks like you want to say something.
No. I want you to finish this topic, because it's going to probably lead somewhere.
What about, do you know people in your life that just narrate their life online to no one?
Mm-hmm.
That they're just posting, going to the store, and they're just posting, oh, look at this memory. And they're just posting like, oh boy, remember when this was like this? And they're just, you're like, who are you talking
to? Selfies in a car, or like, man.
The loneliness.
Yes. I look at something like that, and it's just like, one of the things that I've kind of noticed is single moms or people who have been divorced, or, you know, people who are not in relationships or whatever. And they're just like, they post this stuff, these memes that's like, here's all the things a single mom has to go through in a day, whatever. And it's just like, basically what you're doing by posting that.
Bow hunters are some of the hardest working hunters there are. Most of us work hard all year long just to get a couple weekends or burn our vacation time to sit in a tree. And just like the American blue collar worker, we're trying to balance work, family, faith, and a little time for ourselves in the great outdoors. Now let me introduce you to Trollco Clothing, a brand built by blue-collar workers for blue-collar workers. Workwear, comfortable tees, hoodies, and hats for both men and women, Trollco represents the hardworking American. So whether you're operating heavy equipment, wrenching on engines, or in a factory living that shift life, Trollco has your back. Literally. Head to trollco.com/hunting. That's trollco.com/hunting, and enter the discount code EMPIRE25 for 25% off of your first order. Trollco, for the hardworking American.
Is saying, I am sad and I am lonely.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And like,
you're so strong, girl.
Yeah. Exactly. And then the comments are just, hey, you go, girl, you can do this, you know, like, but at the same time, or, you know, some guy is in a gym posting his workouts, whatever, you know, maybe there's benefits to share, but, you know, like, hey, look at the transition I've made from being fat to now being fit, or whatever the case is. But I think there's a lot of things there where people, they just don't have anything else in their life other than social media.
Yeah.
That is the most depressing thing that I can imagine my life being. And yeah. If there is anybody listening to that, like, get off social media, dude.
Yeah. Like, and to take it one step farther, get off of social media and go start exploring hobbies. Mm-hmm. Like, go find something that you're into. Mm-hmm. And nobody else has to think it's cool. Just go do a thing that you like to do and have a real life experience.
Yeah.
I think you just, like, put your finger on something that I've noticed for a long time and just didn't know how to say exactly. That they have nothing else. They don't have anything else of substance.
Yeah.
In their life.
Or the fact that, like, I just see a lot of people, especially the space that I'm in, they post stuff, it gets attention, and then they're like, oh, I don't have any real friends, and so I'm going to keep doing this crazy shit online.
Yeah.
And now I have these other digital friends that I will never meet, I'll never see, but I get this gratification because of a like button. And that also is extremely sad.
Yeah.
Right. And dude, that's the world we live in today. Mm-hmm. Right. I heard a pretty cool statistic, not really cool, but kind of scary. It's just like the average kid has less friends than 10, 15 years ago. The average, like, 13-year-old has less friends because they're on their devices. They're spending hours a day on devices.
Yeah.
As a parent, I think the biggest mistake I personally ever made was gave my daughter a phone.
Mm-hmm.
And I am very strict about, she's not on Facebook, she's not on social media. She is on Snapchat, but she tells me that it is because of being able to communicate with her friends. Whatever, I'm giving, like, she, there's no problems yet with it.
Right.
So I'm giving her a little bit of freedom to have that. But the second, like, I'm straight up looking for reasons to take it away. So if there's anything bad with that, then it's then it's over.
Yeah.
Then it's over.
I agree. And they say monitor. Look at your kid's stuff and have that be a condition of them even having Snapchat or a phone or anything. It's like, if I let you have this, you are agreeing. I might even have my kids sign an agreement.
Yeah.
You're agreeing that I can get on this at any time and go.
Oh, yeah.
And I will. And I actually do, like, my son plays Roblox, and Roblox, there's a lot of horrible stuff on Roblox.
Right.
You know, it's really hard to police, but I get on his Roblox all the time. And, like, dude, I'll get on there and there'll be like 50 different people that have sent him friend requests. And I just go delete. I told him you cannot have any friends on there that I don't know who they are physically.
Yep. And so I look at that and I'm just like, I don't know. I am responsible. You know, parents are responsible for this. I know you know people. I know you've seen people. We go to some of these athletic events, or we go out to dinner, and parents don't even know how to parent anymore. They give their kid a tablet at dinner, or they give them at an event or something like that, or even in their home, so they don't have to parent. It's fucking crazy.
Yeah.
And then the second the kid comes out of the trance of the device and starts asking questions for things, the parents get frustrated. And then they have to, they're just conditioned to give the kid a different device or set another game up or whatever the case is.
Yeah.
And it's a straight up lack of parenting. Kids are not learning patience anymore. Yeah. And do you know how important learning patience is in this fucking world we live in? And I'm sorry for swearing so much.
I gotta
stop because I'm getting fired up. I get to see, you know, as a coach.
Yeah.
There's no instant, like, a kid is, they're not good at something and they instantly want to quit.
Yeah.
And there's no instant gratification. And so, like, whether it's throwing a baseball or swinging a bat or being a wrestler or football, whatever the case is, they go, they're not successful at it. like these video games that have no end to them. They want to quit. And now they're just, it's leading all these kids. And then there is the factor that, dude, I got to talk to you about the music concert that we were at the other day.
Oh,
did you notice the parents that just stood up in the middle and walked in front of the entire thing? There were kids running around disrupting not the special needs kids that were part of the program. Yeah. I'm talking about other kids that were jumping around, distracting the parents from watching other parents just in the middle of there. Like, I was taught, if you had to leave the room during an event, you stand up, you go as far back as you can. You try to avoid. There were parents standing and walking in front of all of this stuff. And I'm just like, where is this world going to when you have adults talking out loud to other adults?
Yeah.
Where you have kids being loud and obnoxious and the parents not doing anything about it.
Right.
And they're just literally arguing out loud with people. There's no, like, what's the word I'm looking for?
Couth?
Yeah, whatever.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, be quiet. Yeah, be quiet. Yeah, you're too loud. Like, this one mom was like, she shit her pants. Take her to the bathroom. Like, out loud. And I'm having this.
Yeah.
This is the world that we live in right now.
Yeah, yeah. This is my community.
Exactly.
Right in front of my face.
Exactly. And I'm just like, society just seems to be crumbling on all levels right now. Mm-hmm. And it's blowing me away. And I work from home, so I don't go out a lot. I don't have a ton of friends because I choose that.
Yeah.
And I kind of stick around the town that I live in.
Yeah.
And I go to the gym and I come back. I'm not in the public space anymore, like through a job or having to deal, like go to school. But then I come to these group events, and I'm just like, this is absolutely crazy.
Yeah.
How the manners, how respect for yourself and others just seems to be gone. It blows my mind.
Yeah. 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 I wonder if that's highlighted more since you don't see it very much, but yeah, I agree. I think decorum has broken down a lot.
Yeah. It just, I don't know. Like, and then there's a part of me is just like judging those people. Right. I'm like, you're being a piece of shit right now.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think that the right thing to do would be to, and this leads me to a question.
Mm-hmm.
I've heard the term like sins of my father or sins of my mother. Do you ever run into scenarios where people make excuses for their own behavior because they were raised a certain way and they are blaming their sin or their illegal or unlawful or unethical behavior on their parents?
Oh, totally. Totally.
What's that like?
Yeah. Well, that's, there's a story that I heard one time, and it was, I don't know if this is real or not, but it's just an example. So, two sons had didn't know who their dad was, and their mom was a drug addict. Mm-hmm. And, one son, became a drug addict, and the other became very successful in life. Mm-hmm. And then you ask the drug addict son, like, what happened? Why'd you become a drug addict? He's like, well, I didn't have a dad, and my mom was a drug addict. Like, what do you expect?
Yeah.
And then you ask the other son, like, why did you make something of yourself? And why'd you have a successful life? And he said, well, I didn't have a dad, and my mom was a drug addict, and I saw all of that. Like, what do you expect?
Mm-hmm.
I couldn't go down that road. So I think there is some, I've always been a fan of personal responsibility, and I think each person has their own capacity to make their life what they will. And I think that's always been the case. I think there have always been, you know, 30 years ago, 50 years ago, 80 years ago, there were people that like would, that cared enough to have self-respect and face challenges. And then there were people that used all of that as an excuse. Mm-hmm. And I think there's always been weak people and strong people.
Yeah.
And I think just, you know, now that the world is freaking 8 billion people instead of 5 billion, I think we're just seeing just by sheer numbers, a whole bunch more dipshits.
Yeah.
You know,
I mean, and there is literally no better term to describe those types of people.
Right.
Right.
Right. Yeah. And it's sad. I think it's sad. It makes me really sad when it's like, oh, I had a hard childhood and then I make a shitty childhood for my kids. Like, that's the one that makes me the most sick.
Yeah.
You know, I have a lot more respect for people that said I had a hard childhood and that fucking stops with me. Mm-hmm. My kids are going to have a better childhood. I have so much respect for my mom. She had a really rough childhood and, I love my grandma, but my grandma was not very mentally healthy. Mm-hmm. And so my mom was the oldest child and basically raised her siblings.
Yeah.
And my mom sacrificed a lot because my grandma didn't let my mom do a lot, because my grandma put all of this responsibility on my mom. And my mom told me when I was old enough to hear it that, you know, all about this stuff. And she said, I was never going to let that happen to you. I wanted you to experience everything you could experience. I wanted you to be a kid. I wanted you to go out there and try new things and succeed and fail and see what all that feels like. And I always wanted to have your back. And I never wanted you to feel like you had responsibility that shouldn't be on your shoulders. And she made a decision like the buck stops here. It's called generational transmission of family patterns. And if you're not aware of it, then you're really likely to just transmit it to your kids.
Yeah.
And if you are aware of it, then you have two options. You either say, yeah, I'm going to do this on purpose. Or you say, nope, this isn't happening anymore.
Yeah.
I think that's always been the case as well. There have always been unhealthy parents that affect their kids, and then those kids become parents, and then they have a choice.
Yeah.
How am I going to do it?
Yeah. As you're talking about this, the word victim pops into my head. Mm. And that is one thing that I have seen and I see it more in youth athletics than I do anywhere else, about reasons why their kids strike out.
Yeah.
Or are not good at something or whatever the case is. Mm-hmm. Number one, they're 8 years old or they're 10 years old.
Yeah.
Like, nobody gives a shit. Yeah. But there's this layer of blaming problems on other people that is probably my biggest pet peeve, right? And it's not as much anymore, but it was a little tiff that me and the wife would get into in the earlier days of like.
This episode is brought to you by Indeed. Stop waiting around for the perfect candidate. Instead, use Indeed sponsored jobs to find the right people with the right skills fast. It's a simple way to make sure your listing is the first candidate see. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs have 4 times more applicants than non-sponsored jobs. So go build your dream team today with Indeed. Get a $75 sponsored job credit at Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
You know, like excuses why you lost this wrestling match or excuse. And there's only one answer is because the other person was better than you.
Right.
Right. It's not a reason that it's not like, well, if 5 pounds heavier, 5 pounds lighter or whatever the case is, was a huge reason, then we should have stopped and never wrestled that person.
Yeah.
Because of a glaring advantage or whatever, but we wrestled him. So once you accept going into a certain thing, you can no longer use those things as an excuse.
Yeah.
Right. And so one thing that just pisses me off in this world is people, when they take an L in life, they blame it on somebody else and not themselves.
Yeah.
Like I just, and I don't know how you parent your kids, but I'm pretty tough on my kids and am very adamant trying to not let them ever play any type of victim card.
Yeah.
Like the second my kids try to play some kind of victim card, I axe it. Right. I'm just like, I am not raising victims, right? Yep. I want you to be strong and be able to handle difficult situations and then say to yourself, okay, how do I come out of this?
Yeah.
Right? Because once you play a victim card, you're a victim forever. And you're going to make excuses of why you're not successful forever.
Yeah.
Right.
I totally agree. Yeah. Man, yeah. You're teaching and cultivating and role modeling accountability. Mm-hmm. And you know what's cool about that is that accountability is empowering. Mm-hmm. When you're a victim, you feel weak. You feel powerless. You feel like the world is just happening to you. When you feel accountable, then you're like, oh, okay, this is a skills game. Like, life is a game I can get better at. Mm-hmm. And then, so then it's worth it to try, and it's worth it to practice, and it's worth it to train, and it's worth it to ask questions, and it's worth it to take an L and then examine that loss and see how you can come back even stronger. And then you're just like hungry for experience because you know it'll make you better. Mm-hmm. A metaphor I use with my clients often is like, picture two people each on a raft going down a river, like they're whitewater rafting, okay? One person is just in the raft and there's oars and stuff, but they're not using anything. They're just sitting in the middle of the raft and they're just getting jostled around and they're just bouncing off rocks and getting splashed with water. And maybe they get dumped over and they're going, oh my gosh, life is so hard. This really sucks. And then there's another person in a whitewater raft going down the same exact rapids, but they're using the oars. They're looking out. They're paying attention to see what's coming up. They're bracing for impact. They're maneuvering. They're captaining their ship. Right? So they don't have control over the river, but they are exercising whatever influence they have over their own trajectory. And so I really try to cultivate in my clients and also my kids, like, be the best captain of your own ship that you can be. Yeah. And the older you get and the more you practice that, you're going to be a better and better and better captain to the point that you can go down a raging rapids and just be like, I got this.
Yeah.
You know, I think that it's the victim that sits on the raft who's just like, oh my gosh, this is horrible. It's like, why don't you start participating in your own life? Why don't you step up and start trying? If you gain one skill in maneuvering a whitewater raft, your ride's going to be that much better. And then if you gain one more skill, your ride's going to be that much better. And then you perfect those skills and your life's even better. Yeah. Like, just make your life one lifelong pursuit of taking responsibility and getting better.
Yeah.
Your life gets freaking easier and it's front loaded. And I think this is where I think a lot of people miss the point is like, they don't want to do the hard stuff at the beginning to have an easy life later. They want everything easy right now. And then they get punched in the face by the negative results from that. And they go, oh, this is so shitty. It's like, that's because you chose the easy way out every time, which is excuse making and victimhood.
Yeah.
It's sad.
Yeah. Another thing I kind of noticed in this crazy world is people getting, here's the term, making a mountain out of a molehill,
right?
Making something like a bigger problem than what it needs to be. And I don't know why I'm using this example, but some mud gets trapped in the house. Oh my God, floor's dirty. Just going crazy. Walk over to the drawer, pull out a dish rag, get some water on it, wipe it up. It takes 30 seconds to fix the problem.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Meanwhile, groups of people just go fucking bananas because they, what is that? Is there underlying issues of why people get so frustrated at little things?
Yeah. So there's, you know, if I'm using the most generous interpretation of that situation, there are definitely times when a person who's generally healthy is just so overwhelmed with real things in life. Let's say that your parent has terminal cancer, your child's got cancer, or you're watching them die and work is, you know, being really stressful and all these things. Like, all right, my heart goes out to you. You're irritable. You're short tempered. It's because you've like, you know, you have a large capacity, but your capacity is pretty full. Mm-hmm. Okay. I respect you. The less generous interpretation, or what's true for a lot of people also, is that they're just undeveloped people. They just haven't taken that, nobody's shown them, or they haven't realized for themselves that they can take some personal responsibility to develop themselves. And I tell my clients all the time, like, getting better doesn't happen on accident. Like, you have to do it on purpose. If you don't like if you recognize that you're frustrated all the time and can't handle little things like mud on the floor, that's not magically going to get better. You have to make it your absolute goal to stop getting frustrated about stuff like that. And it's going to be hard at first. And you're going to have to, when you're about to get frustrated, you feel yourself getting frustrated, you're going to have to say, no, this is something I'm working on. Mm-hmm. And you're going to have to take a moment, and then you're going to have to choose your reaction. And every time you do that, you strengthen your ability to do that a little bit. Mm-hmm. And so then you just keep piling up those tiny little wins, and you get better at life. And then somehow magically life gets better. Life feels mm-hmm. easier when you're a stronger person. You know, it's like it's like some total wimp that's never lifted a weight in their life. A little bit of weight feels very heavy to them. And it's like, okay, well, the weight itself's not going to change. But if you lifted weights for 3 months, that same weight is going to feel lighter to you.
Yeah.
But it's not going to if you don't lift.
Right.
So same with the, somebody tracked dirt in the house. Well, the mental equivalent to lifting weights is practicing self-control and keeping it top of mind. And I don't care if you have to put sticky notes all over your house, or put an inspirational poster in your freaking living room, or I've encouraged people to put mirrors up all over the place so they can see themselves and see the look on their face. Mm-hmm. I don't care what you have to do, but if you're not working on yourself, then I don't really have a ton of compassion for you. Unless there are like bigger things affecting you. But if you're just an undeveloped person, man, I think that's a place for personal responsibility. It's like step up and develop yourself. And by the way, everything that I'm saying to you as I'm parallel processing, I'm always thinking like, yeah, Kyle. Yeah, that's right, man. Everything that you would ever say to somebody else, you'd better apply to yourself.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. And I'll use an example of that. So I fell victim to being under pressure a couple days ago. And that's when my oldest boy and my daughter, they fight all the time, dude. They walk into a room, oil and water.
Oh yeah.
It's just like, what are you looking at? And it's just, dude, as a parent, it is getting to a point where it is building and building and building, and Volcano Dad came out. And I grabbed a remote control. I threw it into the couch. I got this far from my son's face, ultra aggressive. I was saying things to my daughter as well, like just ultra aggressive, because at the time I felt that was the only way to get attention. And sometimes, to be honest with you, it is.
Yeah.
But I got, kind of like when you shared the story about you spanking your daughter and you saw fear in her face.
Yeah.
I saw lack of understanding in my son's face, and maybe even a little bit of flinching because he thought I've never struck my kid, but he thought maybe he was going to get struck.
Yeah.
Right. And so, I look at that and I go, did I handle that the right way? Like, I let pressure kind of get to me. And from a father standpoint, like, I always, I heard a story once about this 80-year-old kind of looking back at her life and saying, what would I have done different now if I could go back into my 30-year-old body and all the kids and were still around and stuff like that? And I think I handled it the wrong way, to be honest with you. I let pressure get to me and I reacted in a way that I didn't. I think I realized that, and then I had to come back and get the kids together and just be like, hey, listen, this can't happen anymore. I told them the next time there is an argument like that, like there's going to be a 30-day window with no phones, no TVs, no electronics, nothing, like nothing. And I kind of took a more calm path after the fact that I blew up.
Yeah.
But it's just kind of, that was bad because that was bad for me looking back at it, because my goal in life is to raise kids that can handle massive amounts of pressure and not break.
Yeah.
And I admittedly broke at that time.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so,
Which, man, so let me say, I really appreciate you. I really appreciate your candor and your vulnerability. I don't know if you feel vulnerable, but it is a vulnerable thing to share something that's unflattering. And I think it's really cool that we're doing this podcast, and that someone like you would tell us an unflattering story like that and just keep it so real. Like, I like that. Like, 'cause we could easily sit here and like make ourselves look good and, oh, I handle this, and I just omit all the stuff that doesn't make us look good. Mm-hmm. So first of all, I just want to give you credit for that. I think that's awesome. I think a lot of people that are trying really hard have moments like that.
Yeah.
And then we feel like shit about ourselves, and some of that is probably good. That's a good reaction to feel like, oh fuck, why did I do that? And then I really appreciate that you brought your kids back together and talked about it. And I think you can just continue to use that as a training method for them. You could even come back to them and say, hey guys, like, why do you think I preach this stuff all the time? Like, did you know, like, you saw when I lost control, that wasn't good, was it? Like, I'm trying hard to teach you guys to do better than I do it. Like, I don't want to lose control like that either. And that's a thing that I'm working on, but I'll just be really real. That's what happens when a person can't handle stress and pressure.
Yep.
And that was ugly. And I have no excuses. I take full responsibility for it, but it's kind of like the exact thing I'm trying to prepare you guys for. What if you guys' kids fight like little banshees?
Mm-hmm.
Like, are you going to slap your kid in the face?
Yeah.
Or are you going to throw something at their head? Like, I'm trying really hard to be the best parent that I can be. And you know that I love you, and look how hard this is.
Yeah.
Yeah. I appreciate how real you are with your kids. And then I appreciate that you bring it to this podcast, man. Seriously.
Yeah. Dude, and let's be honest. You know, there's the pressure of being a parent. There's the pressure of being a husband. Mm-hmm. And then the, like, trying to lead the family or navigate leading the family with your wife, who at times, you know, like anybody who's married can tell you that a marriage is not two people agreeing on everything, every decision that's made,
right?
It's very difficult to be married. And navigate being married and also being a parent, you know, I got three kids and, you know, you have your two and then your other two, and that's a whole nother, you know, thing as well. And it just, the pressure can add up, especially when there's outside pressure that's not your family. And I think, and I'll say this, I gave my vulnerable thing, you know, that you said, but I think one thing that I'm good at, dude, this is one thing I try to talk to my wife about a lot, because I think she cares too much about things that are not important.
Mm-hmm.
And me, and I'll just say it in the words that I use, I'm really good at not giving a fuck about certain things.
Yeah.
And so it's, for me, it comes second nature almost, like, because I used to be that guy back in the day in my 20s. And when I was in high school, I cared too much about things, you know, and then that led to fake friends and it led to a fake personality. And then you kind of realize how much energy is wasted lying to yourself every day.
Mm-hmm.
It's sad, really.
Yeah. I love it. There's, I bet you've heard of this book. A lot of people have. There's a book called The Subtle Art of Not Giving a Fuck.
I need to read that.
Dude, maybe I'll buy it for you.
Is it good? Is it a good book?
Yeah, I think it's I have never read it. A lot of people like it. I actually want to read it anyway. So maybe I'll buy it and we both just read it.
I'm going to buy it for my wife.
Yeah. Oh, you could read it with her.
Yeah, I will.
Yeah.
I will.
Yeah.
I will.
Because I think it preaches a lot of, you know, like, Stop trying to be positive. Choose your fucks wisely. Embrace your limitations. Suffering is inevitable. Take responsibility.
Yeah.
Those are the key themes.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, I can get on board with a lot of that.
Seems like a whole bunch of no-brainers. You know what I mean?
Yeah, right.
Like
a bunch of obvious stuff.
I should be more positive. Like, oh, okay. I should,
yeah, right?
I should stop blaming others for my problems. Oh,
yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. You know what's funny? I like how you're saying all that right now, because again, these are common conversations that I have with my therapy clients, and the discussion that we have around it is insight is good, but insight is not the same as change. So like, yeah, to say, oh, I should like be more positive. Oh, I should stop complaining. Oh, I should control what I can control and then let the rest go. And oh, I should just prepare the best I can because that's what I can control, and then be okay with whatever the results are, and then move forward from there. It's all fine to know that cognitively, but if you're not actually doing something to apply it to your life, then it's just mental masturbation.
Yeah.
You know, and a thing that you'll probably connect with as well is a lot of people will use the stress of their life as an excuse, like, well, how could I possibly? Look how stressful things are. Or, yeah, oh, I've got anxiety, so I just can't do this. Or, oh, my parents or my upbringing was like this, so I just can't do this. You know, and it's a lot of shrinking. And yeah, and they, a lot of that stuff, I wouldn't discount anybody's stressors or the weights that are on them. But I'm much more interested in helping somebody build their capacity. Mm-hmm. So like, maybe you've heard the expression, don't wish for smaller problems, work for broader shoulders. So like, the idea is you can handle more in life, and it's okay to take emotional stock of like what's going on with you. It's okay to say, yeah, you know what? I didn't have good role models for how to manage my temper, or geez, I just have a bad temper and I don't know where it comes from, or whatever your problems are. Fair enough. Like, I actually do encourage people to take mental and emotional stock, like be really fucking real with yourself about who you are. And but don't just stop there. So from there, that's the time for self-development.
Yeah.
Okay. So that's just highlighted some places that you need to develop yourself.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I think people stop because they like to have the excuse, and they want the woe is me, and they just sit in their shit.
Yeah.
And it's like, don't just sit there, like start developing yourself.
Mm-hmm.
If you get a tiny bit better, life gets a tiny bit easier. And then you get a tiny bit better and life gets a tiny bit easier.
Yeah.
And if you keep doing that, life gets easier and easier and easier.
Yeah. I don't know why when you started talking about that, I had this envision of this show called My 1,000 Pound Life.
Oh, yeah.
And it's like morbidly obese people talking about how hard it is to not eat an entire bag of Doritos, or it's just like, hey, you gotta start moving forward. Or like, for me, I know that if I eat a bag of Doritos, I might get a little bit of a tummy ache. My life's not over. But when you've gone to a point in your life where you're 1,000 pounds and you're literally leaning against death's door, basically, and a bag of Doritos somehow magically gets in front of you and you eat the whole thing, and then you say, well, I had a rough day. Your day has not been rough. You've been in the same spot all day.
How
rough can your day actually be? Then it's just the excuses, and then I don't know why.
True enough. I think that's just an example of how bad things can get, you know? And so for a person like that just does a bunch of woe is me, you know, I don't have as much compassion for, but if somebody that, if they're like, hey, I want to turn things around, but it's exceptionally hard. Yeah. I can get on board with that. Like, yeah, this is hard. And if they're like, I have a habit of eating this much, or I've ate this much for so long that my stomach is very expanded, and if I don't eat that much, then I get hunger pains and da da da. I'm like, all right, let's take stock of everything that is, and then let's start making a path forward.
Yeah,
and it's not easy.
Yeah, I will say this. Speaking of things that are not easy, and maybe I'm bragging a little bit. Maybe I need to tell the world or our five listeners or whoever.
Yeah.
My wife and I are 8
8 months sober, no alcohol in 8 months. Okay. And the crazy thing about that is I've gotten past a point where, I like want to have a drink now.
Yeah.
Like I'm past that point.
Yeah.
But it's crazy that there are still triggers that make me want to have a drink.
Like what?
I don't know what I sometimes they're so subconscious that I don't know what it is, mm-hmm. but I was driving down the road and like taking the kids to athletics, to wrestling. And in my head, I just, something popped in and it's like, maybe it was a song on the radio. Maybe it was something where it's just like, I want to have a bourbon tonight and I want to get a buzz tonight. And I was like, whoa, where did this come from?
Right, right.
Where did this come from?
Uh-huh.
And so I was like, thank God I have, I don't know, I call my wife my alcohol accountability partner in a mm-hmm. way, because I feel like if I had a drink, I would be letting her down too. And uh-huh. I don't want to do that. Uh-huh. But it came, but then it went, yeah. right?
Yeah.
But, so I can see how difficult it would be for someone who is addicted to social media or pornography or alcohol or drugs.
Food.
Or, you know, whatever. And I get it. It's crazy how these little things pop up in your life that are like, do things that are bad for you and your body. Like,
right.
They pop up. I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know what all that means.
Yeah. The cravings that can come up. Yeah, absolutely. It takes, I don't fully know all the science behind it, but I was reading that there's basically a part of your brain that if you force yourself to do hard things, or if you force yourself to be disciplined, or you don't allow yourself to do the thing that you want to do, that part of your brain literally gets bigger. It gets stronger. Yeah. And so when that part is undeveloped, because I know I've used the word, you know, that we're underdeveloped people. If mm-hmm. that part of your brain is underdeveloped, then you're not going to have a very strong ability to turn things down or to, like, you know, be disciplined. But man, each tiny little time that you do it, you're strengthening that part of your brain a little bit. And then if you can do that, that compounds over time and over time and over time. If you can keep doing hard things, then you'd become the type of person that can do hard things.
Yeah, absolutely.
I think that's really cool that you hung in there. What would you say what was your motivation to like stick with it? Like, I know what your motivation was to stop, but like when you were like in the thick of it and like, man, I could go for a drink right now or whatever, or like, you know, just your routine is a trigger, like the things that you normally would have done and you're like trying to force yourself not to. What did you connect with inside that helped you not give in?
100% my wife.
Okay.
I felt that if I started drinking or had another drink, then somehow that would lead to her having a drink, and then that would lead to her and I starting to drink again.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And so I did not want her to get to a point. So I have just held on to it.
Mm-hmm,
right. Good. And I'm not saying, like, she's been really strong about it. And like, I'll say this, I am extremely, extremely proud of her for taking the leap and not drink anymore.
Yeah.
Like I am extremely proud of her.
Yeah.
Now, when I tell her that, she doesn't accept it. Like, you know what I mean? She's just like, whatever, you know, whatever. But I truly am proud of the fact that she has quit drinking, because it was such a huge part of her life. And mm-hmm. it truly was life changing for her.
Mm.
And so I don't want to ruin that for her.
Yeah. What do you notice about her? And this is, you know, I guess I don't know if I'm asking you to share her story, but I'm asking from your perspective, what do you notice is better about her life? What do you notice?
100%, the
anger and anxiety in her life.
Oh.
And that's all I'll go, because the rest is her story.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Right? Those have decreased. The anger and the anxiety have decreased. Even if they're not totally gone, they've decreased noticeably.
Yep. Uh-huh. Noticeably, yep.
Uh-huh.
100%.
Which is incredible, because a lot of people drink to feel better from anger and anxiety. And you might guess that if they gave up drinking that those things might be stronger. But
it's not the case. The next day, especially if you have a hangover, the amount. Dude, I used to drink so much back in the day that I would have panic attacks the following day until I would need another drink again.
You know what I mean? Yeah.
If I went on a rager on a weekend, in order for me to even go to sleep Sunday night to get to bed so I could be somewhat rested for Monday for work, I had to drink like 4 beers.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so, yeah. And so those days are over, and I just feel better. You know, I'm sure she feels better. I mean, and that's where being proud of her is at, but she should be proud of herself, because it's not easy.
Yeah. Yeah. Big time. That's awesome. Yeah. I'm so happy for you guys.
Yeah.
That's great.
Yep. And so I'm looking forward to, and the other thing is now my parents didn't drink a lot of alcohol. Okay. And so I don't know how I all of a sudden started drinking alcohol. It was peer pressure, but I never had anybody not tell me to drink alcohol.
Yeah.
Right. So me and my wife no longer drink, I'm also sharing why we don't drink with our kids.
Yeah.
In hopes that number one, I'll just use my oldest son as an example. Alcohol and his personality will not mix ever.
Yeah.
And just alcohol, and it's like a slave driver. You turn into a slave to cigarettes or alcohol or, any type of drugs and things like that. And it takes up your time. And one of my biggest regrets in my entire life is the amount of time I wasted between the ages of, honestly, 14 when I started drinking till, several, like 30 before my daughter was born, just how much time in those years I just decided I want to drink instead of live life. And it blows my mind. Right. So, and that can be a topic for another day, but, I wanted to throw that ray of sunshine in there. So if you're struggling, there is always hope in addiction or whatever the case is. And you stop for a little bit, you'll go through an uncomfortable period. And then guess what? It gets better. Like everything kind of gets better. So
there you go. Yeah. I like that. Appreciate that, man.
Yep. 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 Well, we've been chit-chatting here for about an hour and 10 minutes. Great episode.
Felt good.
I always love the insight that you bring from the professional standpoint, man, and just like connect everything. You are the glue of a hobby kit. I don't know. That was a horrible reference, right?
That's the best compliment I've ever received.
Okay. Perfect. Perfect.
Appreciate all right. It.
Well, if you guys could do us a huge favor, the Man Therapy podcast, if you want to watch the actual, if you want to watch the video version of this, we do have a YouTube channel. If you want to subscribe to that, we'd really appreciate it. Go to iTunes, go to Spotify, Apple Podcasts, wherever you download the Man Therapy podcast. If you could give us a 5-star review and let everybody know that this is maybe a little educational, a lot relatable, and just two dudes talking about the problems of the world, right? And that's, I think, really all we want it to be at certain times. So, Kyle, any final thoughts before we send it off today?
It's good to see you. I missed you.
There you go. Same to you, buddy. All right. Until next week, my friends, have a good one.
You're listening to the Sportsman's Empire Podcast Network. And this episode is brought to you by Interstate Batteries. For all of your battery needs, visit your local Interstate Batteries retail store. Interstate Batteries, outrageously dependable.